In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Oh,
nice
thank
shooting.
You, thank you. There goes that torpedo, and there goes the HMS Beagle down with its precious doggy... No, his precious Charles Darwin theory. And we are today, Stan Hudson.
John Krolinski, welcoming you to Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation lighthearted because it's the fun way of doing it. And if you can laugh a little bit... That's good.
All power to you. Well, and patience is a virtue.
If you could
and
see us, you'd probably laugh a lot more.
We have these radio faces. Yes,
oh,
we
yes,
do.
Yes, we do.
Well, here we are talking about the origin of life, and this is the day after Charles Darwin's 200th birthday anniversary celebration in the world, the year of Darwin. And we are also thinking about the 150th anniversary of The Origin of Species, which Charles Darwin published, mm-hmm. which promoted the theory of evolution via natural selection to a world that appeared to be ready to receive something other than the biblical account, as the world was already kind of moving away from it, and certainly the academic world of the day.
Sure enough. Well, last time, Stan, we kind of surveyed some of the first initial ideas of the thoughts of scientists were like came from a warm pond scum with a chance and lightning and chemical affinity types for chemical bonding tendencies or self-ordering tendencies when energy passes through substances, tendencies. And we said, blah.
Well, now that's not nice to say.
Actually, we didn't say blah.
The scientists are finding problems with all three.
So they started scrambling for answers.
You know, again, when we talk about origin of species, we're really talking about origin of life because that's something Darwin didn't quite work out and it's been difficult to understand since. And these three that we talked about in our previous are among the better ideas, I think, but even those better ones. And now we're scrambling around. So today we're going to present at least three, maybe four more ideas to try to figure out where life comes from. Very difficult thing.
Yeah, and the first one really, Stan, is when they realize that there's not enough time. We talked about it last time. There's
enough
time for life to evolve or begin on Earth through any of the processes because the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, approximately, according to their theories.
Right.
And so since in the early Earth atmosphere and chemical conditions wouldn't be conducive
cooling
to life,
down from
so
heat.
They said, life must have come from outer space.
Outer space.
And they call seeding from space or panspermia.
Yeah, transperma.
Transperma.
Yes, transperma. Moving a seed from here to there. And this could be looked at in a lot of different ways. You know, for instance, a dirty
snowball.
A dirty snowball, you know, that didn't wash. You know, exactly. It's come from some place way out there that had life already on it that would have been in a place for longer than 4.5 billion years. In other words, give it a couple billion years.
More out there in a better condition, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get kind of a kickstart on this.
Yeah, and so we jumpstart life. But the trouble is, well, actually it's not trouble. How they're trying to prove that right now is by spending your tax dollars.
Okay.
Going to Mars.
Yes.
Because they want to find water on Mars, because then they'll say, see, something must have seeded through. We found it didn't quite stick on Mars because it wasn't the Goldilocks planet in our solar system. But yes, there might have been a few seeds that started there, and if we can find water and find a few microbes, maybe we can claim that there's life on Mars.
I'm trying to remember now the story, but it seems like they found a piece of rock somewhere that they thought may have been blown off of Mars or ejected from Mars that might have had some life on it, and there was some quite
crashed
a controversy.
Earth.
And but anyway, I think that one's kind of laid to rest now. But anyway, okay, yes, maybe Mars has a little life seeded in it at some time in its history, and that's why you're right. Billions are being spent to see if that's so.
Another possibility when they
could... Seeding from space. Oh, incidentally, the other one, which is kind of a funny variation of that one, is Little Green Men.
Oh, Little Green Men. Oh, yes. They brought light here.
And that makes pretty good movies. There's been a few movies like that.
Little Green Men spraying some slime on here.
Oh, you know, just kind of coming down here and...
Making a garden.
Yeah, making a garden and then going off somewhere else and leaving it to go. So
they're letting it grow a little bit. They're going to come back and harvest it in your lunch.
And incidentally... you know, we're trying to think now, what is the guy's name, the DNA discoverer that believes this seeding
Little Green
from
Men?
Seeding from space.
Not Goldschmidt.
No. Oh, that's terrible. Can't remember. But anyway, one of the DNA discoverers is one of the people who promote this idea of seeding from space. Anyway, seize the time problem. Go ahead.
The next one is when they couldn't find it, since they haven't yet found it in outer space, another theory was it must come from deep inside the Earth, like the ocean vents, the vents of the oceans, that the vents may provide enough energy. The trouble is that even Miller,
Stanley Miller, his first name.
Yeah, he was one that tried to chemically produce life, or at least the amino acids for life in his experiment.
Yeah, he was trying to reproduce the ancient atmosphere of the Earth that supposedly would be there and see, is there any way we can kind of randomly get, you know, to use electricity and use whatever and try to see if we can get something that's sort of proto-life, you know, kind of bring some proteins or at least amino acids together. He did get some amino acids to form, and so it was like, yes, this is it. This had to be the way it happened. Unfortunately, now they believe that the atmosphere was totally different, couldn't possibly have been that way. And even if you do it that way, it's kind of like saying, see, you don't need intelligence to produce it. Even though the scientists are assumingly intelligent
and making
that are trying to produce
and mixing the right amount of
making,
the totals,
yeah, cutting out a whole lot of other things that could have gotten
wrong,
in the way.
messed up the way.
Yeah,
yeah. So what's happened is they basically there's too much complexity involved, and so many of the scientists are just saying, you know, that's a nice theory. It sounds nice, sounds warm anyway, because ocean vents are warm. Actually, some of them are hot. Mm-hmm. However, the reality is it's not probably the source of life.
Okay, so that one's out too. All right.
The next one is interesting, life from clay.
Life from clay. Now, I used to play with clay.
Yeah,
you know,
kind
Play-Doh.
Of claymation, yeah.
Yeah,
Gumby
Play-Doh,
whatever.
You know, make things. You put them in molds, and you can make little figurines and stuff.
You let them dry or bake them?
Eat them, you know, as you're a little kid.
That's kind of sick.
But anyway.
Put that down, Teddy.
Life from clay. Is that working, or what do you think?
No, they haven't been able to do that.
Oh.
They haven't...
But it says here, refuted by the early 1990s in our notes.
When it first came out, they've discovered that didn't work. That was a late 80s kind of fad that was thinking maybe it came from clay because there's some chemicals and stuff in dirt. And you get some soils and
dirt
chemicals.
We all kind of dirt. Maybe they were looking at their kids when they thought that through.
Yeah.
You know, kids
there's
seem
something
to be
living behind his ears, growing behind his
ears. Dirt produces life, it looks like.
Yeah. And we have one more, though, you have there.
Well, yeah, and that is, and this was, if you've seen the movie Expelled, you'll note that one of the scientists there, when asked the subject by Ben Stein, where life came from, he said one of the more popular views today is that it grew, life started to organize on the back of chemicals, of crystals. So life producing chemicals or chemicals that would produce life eventually started to organize themselves, proteins and that. You know, on the backs of
Shirley
crystals.
McClain.
Well, boy, you know, I tell you, crystals are
up.
Big, aren't they, man?
Yeah.
They are really big in all of this. So crystals are pretty cool. I mean, I love crystals. I'm a rock hound. I go dig up quartz crystals and whatever crystals I can find. They're beautiful things. But to say that life grew on their backs may be a bit of a scientific stretch.
Actually, Stan, we go through these lists. They're scrambling for answers because they don't have any. The theories are weak. There's lots of life is so complex. It's so challenging to even define that. Why don't we just realize that maybe, like we said last time, that God is the origin of life. And matter of fact, there is one theory that is appealing to me, actually, of all these seven.
Okay.
However, I have a little twist on it.
Okay.
And that's claymation, life from clay.
Claymation.
But there's a claymator. we sometimes call him a creator, but he's a claymator, too. He's the one that invented Plato, the original Plato set. And we have a torpedo text on it.
Yeah, from the Book of Beginnings. It makes sense that we might turn to that to see where life came from. And Genesis 2:19 says, I bet you thought I was going to go to God made man out of the dust of the earth. Well, here, take a look at this. It says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So God brought out of the ground, the clay, virtually the whole animal world.
Yeah, birds and animals. And we don't think of it, but you wonder sometimes, maybe we see the divine designer aspect of God in that the sense he uses the raw materials that are common to life on earth for all the life he made. The differences being of how there he creates them out of the ground, makes them.
Yes.
Whereas it, when he
gives them the breath of life.
Gives them the breath of life, however. But when it comes to man, that's when he shapes him himself.
Yes.
Not that he didn't shape the others. And then actually bends down and breathes into his nostrils. It's a different type of giving of breath
something
of life,
special.
Where he may have spoke the others into existence, he breathes into our nostrils a breath of life, or they have the breath of life in them too, but it's more of a spoken from a distance.
And we're created in God's image, a very unique, special relationship.
And so that's the one area that I go with claymation.
You like claymation. Okay, check mark, and I'll go with that. So two check marks for claymation. Okay.
So as we look at the various complex theories that are thrown out there, the hypothesis for the origin of life, the only one that really is suitable for us is the one that we find in the story of Genesis.
It makes just as good a sense and is as scientifically supportable with this proviso that life itself is such a miracle, it's hard to explain. Even science can't really get a good word, a translation, a description around the concept of life.
No matter how hard we try, we can't take chemicals alone and zap them, cook them, fry them, microwave them, anything.
No matter
and call
what,
them to allow life to occur.
And you and I have seen lots and lots of science description articles in the paper and web and so forth where it says scientists are near making false, or what should I say it, facsimiles of life or artificial life. You know, they can't quite get there. It's always in the future, but it's we're pretty close. We can
and give us really grant, what they're talking the point about is give us grant dollars. We need we need a job.
And
maybe
we'll
needs
cook
new
up
shoes.
A protein or something, you know, and but that's a long ways from making the complex thing which we call life. And, you know, incidentally, before we go very much further toward the end, I got to mention it's Francis Crick. I remember now, Francis Crick that brought
one of the crick in his knee.
The guy that thought, the DNA discoverer got a Nobel Prize for it, who thought that perhaps we came from seed transported across the.
That was a very Nobel Prize thought, you know.
But again, what else have you got? If you remove God as the originator of life, you got to explain for it by, in essence, some fortunate accident, a series of fortunate events.
Lucky dirty snowball came through, and the Goldilocks planet caught the right dirty comet in this vast space. You know, the universe is a pretty big space out there, you know.
Yeah, and again, Anthony Flew, as we quoted in our last talk, was a real diehard atheist, you know, an evangelical atheist, if I can put it that way. And here he was confronted with the scientific evidence for the origin of life, and he just couldn't see any good scientific theories. The things he had heard couldn't explain logically the origin of life. Life's too complex. It just simply happened. And what he did was, he said, I had to go where the evidence took me, which was belief in a creator.
Yeah, and the sad reality is we have a society and a culture and a world that is developing that doesn't even value life. We play so loose and fast with this very precious thing. You know, it's common around us because we see all kinds of bugs and stuff. But the reality is that life is a precious thing. You can't make it.
It's
sacred. And all you can do is, I think, yield it over to the life giver, and he promises to make it eternal.
That sounds pretty good to me. Tune in to another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.